Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. Of course, he's an investigative reporter from Israel, spent 30 years over in Israel investigating the corruption of the Israeli government. And then, of course, because he was getting so close to the devil's heartbeat and exposing key people in the Israeli government who were involved in murder and mayhem, why there were threats on his life, and he came to the United States. And as a result, of course, we have the benefit of his knowledge and his commentary almost on a weekly basis here at Radio Liberty. So without further ado, hi, Barry. How are we doing tonight? Hi, Barry. How are we doing tonight?
Fine, thanks.
What are we going to be talking about tonight?
Oh, I've got something of interest. We're going to start with something of interest.
Well, I sure hope so. Go ahead.
Well, excuse me. Well, you have to look around for these things. And, you know, there are people who just don't. All right, leave it at that. But Israel's got, it's not exactly a, well, it is a kind of a scandal. Look, we're going to talk about a place I actually knew about again. It was the Israel Institute for Biological Research. Now, again, because I was a trade journalist, I got in there, more than got in there. Now, what they developed, I tried all night to remember what it was that they developed, something like human growth hormone, something in the early days of modern medicine, not exactly. In the 80s, they switched to all kinds of hormones and processes, and they developed them. And I went and did a story about some sort of, I think it was human growth hormone, but it doesn't matter. We had a relationship. I ended up making contact through my article with, again, someone I forget. I think he was from Woods Hole in Massachusetts. I met him and the scientists in New York from the Israel Institute for Biological Research. We met, this I remember, at the Yacht Club. We had lunch at the Yacht Club, very fancy. So I got in there. Now, I'm taking this article from an Arab source, but I'm also using a couple of Israeli sources who've looked into this. Now, it's very closed. It's in Rehovot, and well, it's, you know, highly surveilled, high walls. You're not allowed in because the Israeli Institute for Biological Research has been behind some nasty stuff, and not to Arabs, even though, well, they've been victimized as well, but Jews. There have been biological experiments. Whoops, I hear the music. Don't I hear the music?
Yes, you do. There's been biological experiments on the Jewish population.
Well, if we've got time, I'll go into that.
We'll get to this in just a moment. Of course, our guest is Barry Shamish. He's talking about this institute over in Israel that he's actually had written about some years ago. But as with so many of these organizations, you know, they say they're all into research, but sometimes, of course, they have to do experiments, and sometimes these experiments can be very questionable as far as the moral fabric of them. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Barry Shamish, go right ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to understand my attitude. I believe that the Jewish people have been infiltrated, but I think the engine would be running fine and dandy if we just fixed it by throwing them out of our lives. You know, it's a very straightforward attitude, and I believe in it. As for, well, I wasn't ashamed of working for the Israeli Institute for Biological Research, but today it's a little different. I think they, well, I know, we'll go into that a little bit later, but they did experiments on Sephardi children and Yemenite children, all kinds of terrible stuff in the 50s. It's, look, it's a top secret military installation. It's where all the research on biological and chemical weapons is done in Israel. They're the ones that, well, they offensive and defense. They've got offensive biological and chemical weapons, and they got antidotes for the Arabs' biological and chemical weapons. And, in fact, they have a very special role to play, but they have let the role get away with them, and we'll talk about that shortly. But nonetheless, it's really nothing is ever written about this in the Israeli press. Any news comes out of the foreign press and leaks back to Israel. It's look, I was phoned by an Israeli TV station today, and they want me on air to talk about what I knew about the Mossad. I sent them a brief synopsis, including the murder of John Kennedy Jr., which had a ton of Mossad behind it because he revealed the Rabin assassination and was back on the case. So there was, well, they said, we're not putting that here. I mean, they just told me outright that that is not what they were looking for. Even though I'll stand by it, they didn't want anything to do with it. It's the same thing with this Israel Institute for Biological Research. You don't touch it. And that's, well, it's not exactly a free press in Israel. Leave it at that.
Well, I think we have the same problem over here. We have the same identical forces working in the United States, effectively shutting down discussion of really important issues. We'll be right back in just a moment with Barry. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Barry is talking about the fact that over in Israel, why, of course, they will not discuss this at the Israeli Institute on Biological Research, and they certainly will not discuss certainly the relationship between the Mossad and the Kennedy assassination. Of course, Barry's investigated all of this. Barry certainly is an investigative journalist.
Not the Kennedy assassination.
Was not the whose assassination was it?
John Kennedy Jr.
Oh, John Kennedy Jr. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
John Kennedy wasn't exposing how Yitzhak Rabin was murdered from an inside source.
Okay, you're talking about, of course, the magazine that Kennedy Jr. was actually publishing. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it was a side issue to begin with.
Okay.
The point being that I was censored just this morning. There are things that don't get out.
Right.
Look, a lot is just military censorship, which at least the legitimate Israeli press has to hand everything to a censor. But look, the so-called anti-Israel writers, they just talk about, they make up stories of repression against Arabs. They don't begin to touch this. Now, again, I'm using an Arab source for this information. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten out. Not everything. A lot has gotten out. Now, here is what happened. An employee of the Biological Research Institute, her name is Avishai Klein, she sued them for harassment and emotional abuse recently, in the last couple of weeks. Now, a lot got out in the trial. More than Israel has ever seen or heard about this research institute, a lot of it came out. Now, look, she was a long-time employee of the institute, and the institute has, 300 scientists and researchers. It's a pretty big institute, and people get fired all the time for different reasons. She was a long-term employee. What we learned from her trial, a public court, remember, she's suing the institute for harassment and emotional abuse. She's in a public courtroom, and stuff came out that never came out before. It turns out that her duty was, one of her duties over time was to develop an ointment to protect the skin from mustard gas. And, there's, all of these scientists and technicians specialize in different areas. But one of the areas that apparently came out of this trial, unless this article is just guessing, is a Mossad assassination unit. It's called the Kidon. Now, not everyone knows the background, but there are some notorious successes or failures using poison. That's a straight ordinary poison. Now, there was a big one in 97. This is when Netanyahu gave the order, he was prime minister then, gave the order to eliminate this Hamas Politburo chief. His name is Khaled Mishal, and he's still around, bigger than ever. And the Mossad went to Jordan, and they stuck a needle in his arm, and he was dying, but they were caught. So Jordan had these Mossad team in their hands, and Mishal was dying, and Netanyahu cut a deal that released the Mossad team and will save Mishal, and the antidote was shipped over to Jordan, and he was saved. This is a very, very well-known, failure, in that they didn't kill him in the end. They almost got caught and was exposed everywhere. I remember writing about somebody squealed that it wasn't just a failure, that somebody passed word to the Jordanians. But again, separate issue. The issue was that the poison came from the research institute. That's, there's a list in front of me. Prime Minister Menachem Begin, way in 77, he was his first year as leader. He ordered a hit on the, he was a leader of the PFLP, that's the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. His name was Wadi Haddad. Now, he was bad news. He was responsible for several terrorist attacks, including the hijacking of a passenger plane to Entebbe the year before. And, this one worked. It came out, and by our friend Aaron Klein, he wrote a book where he told the story of how this poison killed the Haddad. Oh, he liked Belgian chocolates, and there was a Mossad agent in Iraq that deliberately befriended him and gave him the chocolates. He was a Mossad agent, needless to say. And Haddad, it was a slow-acting, undetectable, brilliant poison developed by this research institute. And Haddad deteriorated slowly, and he was eventually flown to East Germany, and he was diagnosed with leukemia, and he died in 78, about 2 years after the poison, a year after the poison was given to him. In short, this institute, now remember, I'm taking from an Arab source, so they're only talking about Arab victims, the recent I wouldn't call it necessarily a fiasco, but they were caught again in Dubai when they killed the Hamas leader, that was Mahmoud al-Mahbou, in Dubai. It was exposed for the whole world to see, but again, it was the poison, and it came from the Institute, and this is what the Institute does. Now, just so you know, the Institute got a ton of money from the States recently. Well, they're still getting it. It's hundreds of millions of bucks. It was, well, the research was an Israeli cure for anthrax. Now, where this started was that after 9/11, anthrax just started showing up every which way in the States, killed about 8 people, but it, you know, pretty well shut down the post office. They were coming in packages through the post office. It was just more terror being spread. Now, the United States gives this institute hundreds of million bucks, just to find an antidote to anthrax. But the real problem was that those packages being sent to the States were eventually traced by legitimate lawmakers. They were from Arizona. These were American anthrax spores. It wasn't the Arabs once again. They got caught, and Israel is getting, a lot of money for an antidote to an American-born and bred anthrax problem. This was not terrorism. This was the spread of terror within the American government. Whole different animal. But, what can you say, that the Research Institute has been at work at this I don't think there is a cure for anthrax, so I guess they're still at work at this.
Well, basically, of course, you remember, of course, with the 911 anthrax attack, why on the very evening of September 11th, Dick Cheney and all the members of the White House staff started on Cipro, which is a medicine specific for anthrax. You don't take this ordinarily because it weakens your tendons, and you can actually snap your Achilles tendon if you're on Cipro. And so, but isn't it interesting that they knew that attack was coming? Dick Cheney and the White House staff and President Bush all started on Cipro in the evening of September 11th, but they didn't tell anybody else that the anthrax attack was coming. I wonder how they could have known that. And then, of course, the only people who received the anthrax laden letters, at least the only legislators, just all happened to be Democrats. And I'm sure that was just coincidence. But go right ahead.
You got me there. It's out of my knowledge.
That is actually quite accurate. And Dick Cheney and the White House staff started on Cipro that evening, so they knew the attack was coming. How could they possibly have known that attack was coming? Certainly, on the evening of September 11, 2001, the last thing anybody was thinking about was the possibility of an anthrax attack, unless, of course, your name is Dick Cheney or George W. Bush.
I recall this as well.
Okay, go ahead.
I recall this minor scandal after 9/11. There were so many of them.
Right.
But the point is that Israel's getting paid to find an antidote for anthrax, which was released in the United States by Americans and developed in Arizona. It's a strange business world we live in. I hear music.
Right. Well, of course, basically, of course, we have something here in the United States at Fort Detrick, Maryland, does the same thing as this Israeli Institute. I'm sure that there are a number of centers where they're doing all sorts of studies on biological warfare and methods of mass killings. You can take a doxycycline, if you come in contact with anthrax, take it immediately, and of course it'll tend to, it works almost as well as the Cipro. And we'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Barry Shamish, talking about this institute in Israel. Very good. Right ahead.
Well, not so much the institute, the fact that this civil suit opened the institute. Look, the institute was under a lot of pressure. And I covered this on your show, that dozens of Israeli soldiers were mortally sick, terrible cancers, and it turns out that they were all in a test. And guess what the test was for? An anti-anthrax vaccine. And the results were disastrous for the Israeli soldiers. Young kids who deteriorated sharply, and somebody put two and two together. It shouldn't have been that hard, and they blamed, well, they more than just blamed. They raised lawsuits that have still not gone to court, that their sons were used as human guinea pigs for an anthrax antidote that didn't work, but it made them permanently sick. And this was this year. I spoke about that. Watch out if you're an Israeli soldier. Why didn't, if you're at war, at least use Arab prisoners of war. If you're going to test something out, you don't use use terrorists. Use people, use murderers. There's all kinds of people you can test it on. But Israeli soldiers is who they chose. And, I mean, that has raised the moral hackles, not just of the parents. But, again, this is being swept under the carpet and in Israel. And I'd be amazed if those trials, they'll never reach a courtroom. Too devastating. But, as I say, Avishai Klein did make it. And all this stuff started coming out. Now, what worries me, and this is what I started to say. It was started by David Ben-Gurion. He started the Biological Research Institute, and he started in 1948, and he ran it personally. There was a period when Moshe Sharet was prime minister, 53 to 55. He was not allowed to get any information about what that institute was doing. Wasn't allowed to. What they were doing in the years of Ben-Gurion were conducting ghastly experiments on Sephardic children. Now, this is it's an hour just to talk about this if I went into it. But it was what they did is they got X-ray machines from the American Army, and they blasted every Sephardic child, beginning with the Yemenites and going through them all, only Sephardic children. They blasted them with hundreds of times the fatal dose. 6,000 died of gamma rays right through their brains. And this is the big secret in Israel, that this experiment on Sephardic children took place, and it took place through this Biological Research Institute.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Barry is talking about this program that was carried out some years ago under the auspices of this special biological institute, and it was on Sephardic children, and basically I think there were about 100 of them. This was the so-called ringworm.
There were 115,000.
Yeah, 115,000, and basically these children were used. They said they, as experimental, they radiated their brains, supposedly to treat the ringworm on their scalp. That wasn't it at all. They were burning up their brains to find out how much radiation they could take, because this was certainly instigated, my understanding, it was instigated by people in the United States. There was a joint operation between the Israeli, certain wicked people in the Israeli government, and wicked people in the United States. And they destroyed the brains of these children. There were about 6,000 of them died immediately as a result of this. This is a scandal in Israel. You can go up on the internet and look up the ringworm children, ringworm Sephardic children, and read this and weep. It's one of those stories that just grips at your very heartstrings. But go right ahead.
Well, the mastermind, the head of the Atomic Energy Commission and the Ministry of Health, was Shimon Peres, Israel's president today. To describe what is going on, that the Sephardim don't rise up and say, get this monster out of our hair, we don't want him as president. I don't know the brainwashing that went into it. Maybe, and I'm not kidding about this, the fact that their brains were so weakened, that's not true. They should know better. There's no excuse for this.
This, of course, was, what, about 1960, 1950? When would this take place?
Took place 50 to 64.
Okay, 50 to 64.
Yeah, the main experiment was in the mid-50s.
Okay. This is one of those terrible, horrible things that certainly most people have never heard of, and it is because you are not supposed to have heard of it. But the Sephardic children, look up the... There were actually two experiments done on the Sephardic children. One was the Yemeni children, who were kidnapped from their parents and sent to the United States for experiments. The other were the ringworm children. And you certainly would want to get that. Well, we've got Ray... We'll get to Ray as soon as we get back from the break. But you go right ahead, Barry.
Well, look, a scandal has broken in Israel that is exposing, what can you say? I mean, this is not just a secret little institute. This has got a history that is just against Jews. Forget the Arabs. All right, so they assassinated a few terrorists. But you're talking about the entire Sephardic youth were victimized by this place. And for the first time in Israel's history, there is an open court suit. Now, it may be by an employee who is charging harassment and emotional abuse, but stuff is coming out, and I don't ever remember anything like this coming out before. I don't think it's going to get... This little suit is not going to get to the ringworm children, but it's opening up all kinds of issues, like the dozens of Israeli soldiers who were infected with this antidote that didn't work, that are alive today and slowly dying.
Well, now, basically, is this getting into the Israeli press or just simply the Arab press?
Now it's getting into the Israeli press. There's no choice. It's an open court.
Well, I'm just so glad that you're getting this information out because...
People don't care.
Yes, they do care, especially if it's your son or your grandson.
Those people care.
Yeah.
If your son was the one infected, you care a lot.
Right.
But, again, if your son was a Sephardi in 1954 and his brain was smashed with hundreds of times the gamma rays that is permitted, you would be mad too. And they were for a while, and they were crushed.
Right. Well, I think one of the hardest things, Barry, for people to realize is that this was simply not an experiment. Let's see how much radiation we give. There really are people who want to hurt children. As difficult as it is, there really are evil people out there, and this is a recurrent theme of our programs. There are evil people in the world until people are willing to accept that fact and recognize that fact. So many of the things that go on today, you say, it had to be a mistake. They had no idea what they were doing. And my reply is, they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to understand they know what they're doing. We'll be back in just a moment here.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea,
this is Dr. Stan, and during the break here, let's go to Ray, who's calling from Montana. Ray, do you have a question for Barry?
Yes, Stan. John Rappaport has written an intriguing book called The Ownership of All Life, and it kind of deals with the subject of pharmaceuticals and the Genome Project being a cover for Nazi-era programs to continue to find the master race and all this stuff. I was just wondering what Barry thinks about some of the more clandestine programs that might be going on at this institute in Israel.
Well, again, I don't think right now is not the 50s, and they did their biggest damage a generation ago. What they're doing now mostly is listening to Arab intelligence and getting, well, they're getting reports from military intelligence called the Amman, what the enemy is planning, and come up with an antidote to this gas or this chemical. That's what they're mostly doing. Now, as for clandestine, well, it's all clandestine. None of this is... They don't send press reports that they develop a great new mustard gas for the next war.
So basically, of course, but these things are going on all throughout the world, Ray. And I think that, of course, there are certain experiments being done in all the countries to develop horrible new weapons, which I fear, I really fear, are going to be unleashed upon the world when the next world war comes about, and we're not that far away from it. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, that's it. Just keep up the great work.
God bless and thanks. That's Ray calling from Montana. But ladies and gentlemen, we are facing very, very difficult and dangerous times. And of course, it is our contention and certainly our intelligence sources that we have, meager as they are, but at least we have some that I think are fairly reliable. And that is that everything is being done to prepare the American people, specifically the Christians of this, the United States, for a coming war with the Muslim world. How it's going to play out, I don't know. But everything's being done to turn the American people against the Muslim faith. Now, certainly I don't like the Muslim faith. I think that they've got a lot of crazy ideas, and this radical element within the Muslim faith certainly is very, very dangerous. But then who's funding this whole radical movement? And it's people like Mr. Gulen, who, of course, is getting his funding from the CIA. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is certainly Barry Shamish, and we're not going to be taking any callers. We want to give Barry the chance to develop his ideas. So, Barry, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, and how they can get to your PayPal button and help finance you so that you can keep bringing us the fascinating information.
Sure. My books are available at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. And the book you'll want, if you're interested in this experiment on Sephardic children, the book would be Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust. How do you get there? You'll see a search box at Lulu. You write in my name, Chamish. There's a dozen books there. That's the one that deals with this subject with a lot more details than you got tonight. My website is barrychamish.com, spelled the same way, chamish.com. At the bottom of the main page, you'll see a little PayPal donation button. And believe me, if you donate, I'm grateful. I'll gladly send you a really nice box of DVDs. You'll like them a lot. And if you want me to speak or you want the DVDs, my number is 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. Those are not on Lulu. All right, that's enough of the plug. Now, look, the next item that happened this week isn't the most important by any stretch of the imagination, but it's close to my heart. There was a major fire broke up in Jerusalem, two, 3 days ago. Now, look, this was just below the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum. And if that burnt down, the loss to the Jewish people, that's the headquarters, the World Holocaust Memorial, and, well, it was, well, three of us workers were hospitalized for smoke inhalation, stuff like that, but they luckily got it under control before it climbed up the hill and attacked a very sacred site to world Jewry. Very sacred. If that thing burnt down and the records burnt down, horrible. Now, I read about this and imagined what was going on. Now, first of all, as usual, and I'm going to talk about why it's as usual, the firemen reported that the fire began initially in four separate spots. That's the way Arabs start fires. It works much better than just lighting one up. You make the fire consume itself. It's pretty good job of arson. Somebody gave the instructions on how to make a fire real big. Now, it was real big. I read the description, and this, well, these were places I knew well, and in one place I actually lived in, that's the Katamon neighborhood, but the people in Katamon, Beit HaKerem, Har Nof neighborhoods, they were all asked to stay inside with the windows closed or just get out. Just get out of the neighborhoods until this fire is under control. And then at around 4:30, they had to dump fire retardant on the flames to get it under control. The flames were in the city. In the city! They were in the... look, Yad Vashem is on top of a mountain called Mount Herzl. The fire was started at the foot of Mount Herzl, and it affected Jewish neighborhoods, three of them so far, but nobody was allowed to use the roads because of the fire retardant, which is hazardous to feet and tires and then everything else. After something like 4:30 p.m., the roads to people's homes were blocked until the morning. I can only guess they stayed in the hotels, or I can only guess the hardships that caused. But why this story bothers me so much is I covered the same thing, well, twice before, twice before the Jerusalem Forest Fire of 1997, where all the beautiful greenery from the bottom of, well, the Tel Aviv-Jerusalem Road, imagine that. Before you start climbing, that's where the fire spread. From there all the way to the city of Jerusalem, it engulfed that beautiful forest. And I don't know if other people noticed, but the firemen reported that the fire began in four separate spots, and this was on the news for, 3 hours. And then I never heard from it ever again. The peacemakers, the Israelis were in such shock from a beautiful green landscape to a brown desiccated landscape in one day. That's how big this fire was, and it hasn't recovered. The forest since 97, that's not enough time for a forest to grow back. It's all gone. But the peacemakers wouldn't let the news that it started in forest spots, it was arson. And the same thing happened not a few months ago in the Galilee, where, again, a fire that the initial reports where the fire inspectors claimed it began in four separate spots in the Galilee. Now, this was arson once again covered up. Well, half of Israel's force have already been burnt down since peace was signed in 94 was when it was actually signed. Israel's forests are half gone. And what's left is not very pretty. But this one, a few months ago, 43 young firefighters died in when their bus was engulfed in the middle of the flames. And the chief of police for the Haifa region, she died when her car was engulfed in flames. 43 dead from Arab arson. It was a tremendous act of terrorism. And for some reason, no one's listening. No one is infuriated that the Arabs are burning down Israel. They almost burnt down Yad Vashem. They came close.
Well, you see, Barry, when you control the media, well, you can control what people think and what they believe. And this is the tragedy that they have in Israel, the tragedy they have here in the United States. The media is controlled, and the enemies of freedom control the media and largely determine, they mold our minds, they form our tastes, and they create our concepts, and they're experts at it.
Well, a connected story then came out everything is this week. If I'm on the show, I spend 2 days before looking. Now, this is an important story. Again, look, you've never heard of the American Israel Demographic Research Group, and, well, you've heard of the CIA, but we'll get on with this. They've done a complete survey of demography, Arab Jewish demography in Israel. Now, what they studied, this is something I took many, many years ago when I took demography, the total fertility rate. We used to write TFR. And, what it means is how many kids you're having and how many are surviving. If you have a lot of kids and a lot of kids are surviving, you have a very high TFR. If you have two kids and when you go, both survived, you're at even TFR. There, that explains. Here is what they found is that the Arab TFR has plummeted, and the Jewish has gone up a bit. Now, 20 years ago, the average Arab, in 65 is the figure actually here, given here, the average Arab woman gave birth to 8.42 children on average. Today, in Israel, it's even better in the West Bank. In Israel, it's 3.5. In short, the gap between the Jewish and the Arab TFR, that's total fertility rate, has dropped from 1.05 to 0.06. In other words, they're now even. The populations won't overtake each other. And if they do, by the way, it'll be in favor of the Jews, whose ultra-Orthodox element is having a lot of babies. But what it comes down to, the West Bank is even more advanced than Israeli Arabs. They're at 3.12. What they're saying is by the year 2030, all the trends have the, it's a reversal of what people think, that the Arabs are going to outbreed the Jews. You'll have a higher Jewish TFR, 20-30 is a ways off. But they're even Stephen right now, essentially even Stephen. Now, this should be known by everyone because you're still hearing the same concept. Not by schmoes. I mean, C.P. Livni got the most votes in the last prime minister's election. Luckily, her party didn't have enough. But nonetheless, she's running on the same thing, that unless there's a two-state solution, Nothing will ensure a Jewish majority, and therefore a Jewish democratic state. It's all baloney. The figures, it's a world of difference. The Arabs are actually at the point now where their women are not giving birth to 8.45 children anymore. The world has changed, and that concept is by, well, it's not just, the CFO. It's the CIA who did the report on the West Bank Arabs, that they're actually more urbanized than Israeli Arabs and have a slightly lower TFR. This is well-known stuff. But you ask almost any Israeli, and they'll tell you the Arabs are breeding like pigs and they're going to swallow us unless we give them a separate state. They still believe that propaganda, and it's just not publicized that propaganda is a bunch of hooey.
Well, I suspect, Barry, and I have no way to back this up, but if you look at the demographics throughout the world and fertility rates throughout the world, they are falling and falling dramatically. And I suspect that something has been done to influence Arab fertility rates.
The women have more opportunities. They don't want to just be mothers for 8-10 children. They get educated. There are explanations of why total fertility rates drop.
There may very well be. There are other things that you can do to alter fertility rates, but we can't get into that because I personally have no idea what they've done to the Arabs. I do know what they've done throughout so much of the rest of the world and here in the United States to alter fertility. I don't know why there should be the difference, though, in Israel, so dramatic between the Israelis.
Because the Arabs live pretty well in Israel.
Right. But go right ahead, Dick.
Because they're entering the middle class.
Right.
They used to be dirt poor farmers on donkeys. The Arabs that I knew I arrived just after Israel recaptured this territory. They really were riding on donkeys, quite ragged. It's not the same thing anymore. Their world has become middle class. Unfortunately, that middle class is all mixed up with Sharia laws in a lot of places. Let's just say there are reasons that are not conspiratorial about the fertility rate dropping. But neither here nor there. The point being made is they're not going to swamp the Jews. Those days are done.
All right, that's a very interesting point. Go ahead.
All right. Now, what is also being done, and this, now I'm going to talk about a couple of stories that are getting lots of people ticked off. The lots of people, mostly being religious or settlers, for some reason, Dov Lior, he is the chief rabbi of Hebron. He was arrested last Monday. They've been chasing him for a while. They've been chasing him and another rabbi. And his name is Yaakov Yosef. And look, he's the son of the head of the Shas, the luminary of the Shas party. That's Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. Now, what were their crimes? They didn't, by the way, they were ordered to show up at police stations. Both ignored it. The crime was, there was a book written by Rabbi Yitzchak Shapira. It was called the Torah HaMelech, Law of the Kings. And it discusses what the Torah says about waging war and the taking of non-Jewish lives in battle. And, this is not a shocking thing. It's allowed to be discussed. Now, what these rabbis did is they didn't write glowing reviews. What rabbis do is they tell their students and their circles that the book has got my, in the Hebrew, gushpanka, my attribute. You can read it. It's that simple. You can read it. It's not a greatest book in the last 10 years. That's not what happened. They just accredited it. And for that, the police wanted to speak to both of them. And, well, we'll continue after the music.
All right, fine. And what was the title of the book that had been accredited?
Torat HaMelech, Law of the Kings.
Law of the Kings, okay. And what does that really deal with?
It dealt with discussing war according to the Torah.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Samish, too. And we'll be wrapping up the program. And all right, Barry, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
All right. Now, again, with the point I was trying to make is that, boy, you cannot be religious and believe in a one-state solution without the state coming down on you. Right now, the Israeli police are looking for whoever put on YouTube a video clip of Israeli soldiers evacuating the Gaza Strip and a place called Ramona, which was evacuated at the same time in northern Samaria, and they're interspersing Israeli soldiers with Nazis. Now, I want you to know that, to me, short of killing them, which is what a Nazi would do, but, well, forced evacuation of Jews, to me, you can use the Nazi image. And in fact, on the Gaza evacuation day, I was in the north of the country with my son, Ari, and we were in a restaurant, and I watched the soldiers carrying away the Jews, and I just said Nazi. Every 2 seconds came out of my mouth was Nazi. They're going to arrest these Israelis who put it on YouTube. Here's the reason. This is a challenge. Here's the reason from the commissioner of police. This is a challenge to the legitimacy and activity of Israeli police officers. And we are going to apply the full weight of law on those responsible for the video. To my way of thinking, whoever evacuated the Jews deserves that kind of criticism. There was nothing illegitimate about the image, as harsh as it was. It wasn't all that far off the mark.
Unfortunately, they don't have real freedom of speech there in Israel. But then, of course, we're losing freedom of speech here in America. And I sympathize with what you're saying. I think that the forceful evacuation of the people from Gaza, it was terrible. And I think they're going to try to do the same thing with the settlers in Judea and Samaria.
Coming up.
And suddenly, it's people have to understand there are other forces here, and the police and military. If they want to keep their jobs, they go along with it. But I believe this is an organized force of evil that wants, of course, to destroy the Israeli or the Jewish presence in Palestine. Hey, we're out of time, Barry. Good night. God bless. Talk to you next week.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-o.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Barry is simply talking about this program in Israel not to allow anybody to be critical of the policies of the government, which are violently anti-Israel. And, of course, certainly the forced evacuation of the settlers from Gaza, the planned forced evacuation of the settlers from Judea and Samaria, certainly in the West Bank, are being planned by the leaders of Israel, whose loyalty is not to Israel. It's to this two-state solution, and behind that are the powerful spiritual forces that would destroy Israel today. They're working in Israel. We have similar forces working in America who would destroy America. And until you understand the Brotherhood of Darkness, nothing makes sense. So you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the forbidden secret and the dark secret. And they're available by, and the syllabuses go with those two talks. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you have any question about what Barry was talking about and how they're using Israeli soldiers for experiments and destroying their health, we actually have a report. We call it the Rockefeller Committee Report. It was put out by the Veterans Administration here in the United States about how they used American soldiers for all sorts of bizarre and terrible experiments, and even American civilians. We carry another book called The Project Daylily. It's written by our good friend Garth Nicholson. It's his personal experience working at the university there at the MB Anderson Clinic in Houston, Texas. What happened in Huntsville with the bizarre experiments that went on there, where they were forcibly infecting the prisoners there with certainly mycoplasma infections, and how these infections spread to into Huntsville. And there were then the clusters of multiple sclerosis and Lou Gehrig's disease. And then, of course, the murder of Dr. Nicholson's students, who would be actually were state pathologists then, when they tried to find out what happened to the bodies of all the people who were dying. These things are not imaginary, they're real. You can get this, certainly the Rockefeller Committee report. It was an official government report. And then, of course, the book, Project Daylily, by calling 1-800-544-8927. People find it difficult to believe these things really go on. You need, of course, to get up on the Internet. Look up the Yemeni children. Look up the ringworm children. Get these stories. Read them. Read them through several times. Horrible and evil things are going on today, and they love to target children because they hate humanity. This is the organized evil that's out there, not imaginary, it's very real. I might just comment that the Rockefeller Committee report, I was able to track down the woman who wrote it for the Veterans Administration, tried to get her onto our program. She was quite frankly afraid to come on. She was afraid for retaliation. I think she was afraid for her life, because what is in the Rockefeller Committee report is totally devastating. If you want to get into the background of how they created the AIDS epidemic, the book, AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief by Don Scott, it's available from Radio Liberty. And we have so much other information, certainly in books, Defrauding America, Drugging America. I mean, who do you think is really behind this worldwide resurgence of drugs? Who is providing weapons for the drug cartels in Mexico? Why BATF? I mean, returning all sorts of weapons over to them so they can have their drug wars and kill off the soldiers there. We're behind both sides, and when you understand that, it begins to make sense. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. At radioliberty.com, 1-800-544-8927. We're involved in a spiritual battle aligned against the forces of organized evil. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.